3, 5, 11, 44, 5, 11, 45. This was the nation's precise time, which was generated less than 100 yards away by the U.S. Naval Observatory Master Clock. Precise time, synchronized to the millisecond, had been deemed an operational imperative by the Department of Defense, which had troops and bases in locations around the globe. 5-11-50, 5-11-51, 5-11-52. Our limousine was already accelerating out of the turn with an abrupt force that pushed me back into the soft leather seats. The clock was behind us in a flash, out of sight, but still marking time as it melted away. 5-11-58, 5-11-59, 5-12-00. The motorcade arched towards the southeast, down the side of the circle around the observatory, and we could see the lights of the official residence as they flashed through the leafless trees. I was happy to say goodbye to the house for a few days. Our departure meant that many of the naval enlisted aides who looked after us were free to spend their entire holiday with their families. The procession gained speed once we hit the parkway, and our motorcade escort nudged aside other travelers. The motorcade traced the southern edge of Washington, within sight of the monuments and public buildings: Arlington National Cemetery, the Lincoln Memorial, the Washington Monument, with the White House in the distance beyond it, the Jefferson Memorial, the United States Capitol. I had served in elective office in this city continuously since 1973, 36 years as senator and 6 as vice president, but I had not grown indifferent to the beauty and import of these towering landmarks, which now haloed in the glow of a soft light. I still viewed these sturdy marble structures as representatives of our ideals, our hopes, and our dreams. My working life in Washington had given me a sense of pride and accomplishment from the day I arrived, and that feeling had not dimmed after almost 42 years. The truth was, on November 25, 2014, I was as excited and energized by my work as I had been at any time in my career, though my current office was, it must be admitted, a truly odd job. There's a strange and singular elasticity to the responsibilities of the vice president. As a strictly constitutional matter, the holder of the office has very little power. He or she is charged with breaking a tie vote in the Senate, which I had not been called upon to do in nearly 6 years, and waiting around to take over the president is somehow disabled. A previous occupant was famously quoted as saying that the office was not worth a bucket of warm spit. Actually, that's the expunged version. He didn't say spit. The actual power of the office is reflective. It depends almost entirely on the trust and confidence of the president. Barack Obama had handed me big things to run from the beginning of our first term. And once he assigned me to oversee the Recovery Act of 2009, or the budget negotiations with Senator McConnell, or diplomatic relations with Iraq, he didn't look over my shoulder. I believe I did my job well enough to earn and keep his trust. He sought my advice as much as he ever did by the end of 2014, and he seemed to value it, which meant there were days when I felt that I had it in my power to help bend the course of history ever so slightly for the better. And somewhere in the motorcade that evening, as we sped through the streets of Washington, was a car carrying the vice presidential military aide, who was in possession of the so-called nuclear football, which had to be within my reach at all times. I was one of a handful of people who had control of the codes that could launch a nuclear strike on almost any target on the planet. So, a reminder of the grave responsibilities of the office and the trust reposed in me was there, at all times, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But in spite of all of that, in spite of position and standing, I was incapable of doing the thing I most wanted to do heading into that holiday week: to slow down the master clock at the top of my driveway, to make those red ticking numbers hesitate, to give myself, my family, and most important, my beautiful older son, a little extra breathing room. I wanted the power to cheat time. The Biden tradition of Thanksgiving on Nantucket started as an act of